Morning Vineyard Church. Waking up knowing there's a reason. All my dreams come alive. Life is worth living. With you, I've made my decision. You wake me up, fill my eyes with wonder. For every young in your love, this freedom's untainted. With you, no moment is wasted.
Come on!
See the sun now bursting through the clouds, black and white. Turn the color.
Desolate, praying for some way to resurrect. That's when I met this Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how my soul's blazing now. No more silence of the lambs, I'm roaring loud. Soaring clouds underneath me, wow, there's no limit to deliverance. He's written down, my state of mind has been redefined. No more fear in my failure, falling far behind. Man was born to live, and his death was doomed to die. So what's the dream of?
What's the hope in?
What's the doubt for? Live to know him. This is living, the life I've been given is a gift. If I live it, I'm a living to death.
What's the dream of? What's the hope in?
Awesome. Good morning. Good morning. You guys can stay standing. You know, we live in such a unique time in history and with an election going on that's unlike any other election. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, as I talk with people, I mean, there's a level of anxiety. There's a level of worry. There's a level of uneasiness and unrest just about what the future is going to hold. And I'm so glad that you're here today because right now we're kicking off a brand new series called No Fear November. And in just a little bit, Jim's going to be out and he's going to talk about the fear of the future. But as we begin, I'd like for us to turn our hearts towards heaven in this moment, or turn our hearts towards God, because in a world where everything's constantly changing, we know that the one thing that never changes is God's goodness. Regardless of what the future holds in these coming days and coming weeks, we can celebrate God's goodness knowing that He's the one that holds the future. And so we're going to do that now. We're going to sing a couple of songs to God. And this is a way that we can express to God our thankfulness to Him, that we can celebrate His goodness. So let's do that together.
We'll be right back.
let your fire fall, God. Oh, we're hungry for more of you. Oh, come and fill this place. Yes, Jesus, we worship you this morning. You're worthy of our praise, God. You're worthy of our praise, of all our love. We worship you this morning. In your own words this morning, just tell him that he's worthy. Tell him that you love him. Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Yeah, keep going. I feel like there's freedom here this morning for some of us to feel like there's been vice grips that have been around our lives, that have been almost at our throats, that God wants to give us freedom this morning, that he wants to reintroduce us to his joy, to his life, to his freedom. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. You are welcome here, God. Would you fill us with your joy, with your life? Would you come, God? Would you fill this place with your presence? Yes, Jesus, we love you and we bless you. You can have a seat.
One of the scariest moments in my life was when my wife, Christy, put me in charge of handing out candy to trick-or-treaters at our front door. I'm telling you, I was totally overwhelmed. I don't know that I've ever felt that awkward and inadequate in all of my life. But after about an hour or so, I started getting the hang of it. And that's when it happened. My greatest fear. It was a nightmare. I ran out of candy. She didn't tell me I was only supposed to give each kid one piece of candy, so I was giving each of them literally handfuls of candy. And, you know, I faced a lot of really difficult things in my life. I really have. But nothing compares to the sheer terror of looking into the masks of like a dozen trick-or-treaters standing in front of me and trying to explain to them why I don't have any candy left. It's like, well, I messed up. Hey, I ran out. I don't have any more. It's all completely gone. Nada. No more. It's over. You know, we all deal with certain kinds of fears and phobias in life. And in fact, the one thing that every single one of us have in common, more so than anything else, is that every one of us deal with these undermining fears in our lives that seem to surface from time to time like submarines. And some deal with this claustrophobia, which is the fear of being in a confined space, like a closet or an elevator. Some deal with that of hydrophobia, which is the fear of water and of drowning. Some deal with zoophobia, which is the fear of animals, especially pit bulldogs. And some right now are dealing with clintophobia, which is the fear of these unknown emails. And some deal with Trump phobia, which is the fear of having a bad hair day. All right, would you take the outline out of your program entitled The Fear of the Future? As we consider all of the fears and phobias that we have dealt with and are dealing with in life, the bad boy of all fears and the baseline of all fear is really the fear of the future, the fear of the unknown. And it's something that every one of us deal with on a regular basis, and especially right now. You know, I have the wonderful privilege and the pleasure of working with a great staff here at the Vineyard. And the majority of all the staff people here are younger people, and many of them are millennials. And we were around the table for our creative team meeting this past Wednesday, and we were talking about how we can craft a very life-changing and unforgettable experience for you in the short amount of time that we have to work with as we're together in the week, multiple weekend celebrations. And so we're around the table just having this open dialogue, talking about the subject of No Fear November. And what we discovered together is that generationally, there are certain fears that some of us have been exposed to that others have not. For instance, as we were talking, we came to realize that millennials, they are clueless. They have no idea about the fears that took place, the fear of a nuclear bomb and people literally digging in their backyards building bomb shelters. I mean, I'm not talking about just hundreds of people, thousands of people in the United States, or the fears surrounding Y2K. And leading up to Y2K, people were literally freaking out. Some of you remember by buying survival kits, moving to the mountains of Colorado, anything to self-preserve. And then we have the horrible tragedy of the terrorist attack in 9/11 and how it affected the lives of so many of us and just changed the way we view things. And most of the millennials were like, well, I wasn't I didn't want to wear that, or I wasn't really directly affected by that. And then we have the Great Recession of 2008 and the delayed reaction of that and the effect that it's had upon us. And so we were talking about this, and this is what we've come to realize together, is that most of the fear of the future is rooted in our painful past experiences. For instance, if you were dealing with the fear of death, it's because at some time or another in your life, you were exposed to death and it had an impact upon you, and it's this nagging and sometimes becomes a toxic and even tormenting fear that dominates one's life and causes us to do everything within our power to escape from the inevitable, like as if we could actually do that. Now, when it's all said and done, when it comes to the fear of the future, there's absolutely no one who really knows what is about to take place, what's around the next corner, what's going to happen next month, next year, or over the next decade. No one person knows. You hear people saying things like, well, we're going to have a horrible winter. We're going to be snowed in. It's going to be awful. And then you hear other people say, oh, we're going to have a really mild winter. We're not going to have hardly snow or anything. Nobody knows. I mean, notice this with me. The Bible tells us, and this was the words of Solomon some 3,000 plus years ago in Ecclesiastes 8:7, he writes, since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? I mean, it's only an educated guess. It's only a, you know, just, well, I think, or an opinion, or an idea, because when it's all said and done, you know, only God himself knows the future. Only God. And here's the deal. I don't know what the future holds. You don't know what the future holds. But we can know the one who holds the future. And this makes all the difference in the world. In Hebrews 4:13, we read, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God sees everything. God knows everything. God's never surprised or taken back for anything by anything. God lives in the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. Now, I don't know about you, but I take great comfort in knowing that God lives in the past, the present, and the future all the time, and that the whole entire future is in the hands of the Lord, and that God has this overarching narrative, this story for all of humanity, and God will fulfill his purpose and his plan, and ultimately it is good. I mean, I'm talking really good. Now, when it comes to fears, we have the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of loss, the fear of not enough, the fear of death. All of these fears that we deal with on a regular basis, if you were to pinpoint the granddaddy of all fears, what might that be? And whatever it is in your life, you can know that some way, shape, or form, it's rooted in your past. The feelings attached to that, emotion attached to it. Now, there are two ways that we can face fears. Two ways. One of the ways we can face fear is a foundation, a solid foundation, a sure and stable foundation that brings stability in our lives, that frees us from our fears. The other is feelings, and our feelings are like this. Our feelings are up and down and all around. Our feelings are fickle. Our feelings can be false. Our feelings can mislead us. Our feelings are capricious. They're all over the map. And when we have a foundation, this is what happens. A foundation, we then live a fearless life as opposed to a fearful life. A foundation is to be built on an experiential knowledge of Jesus and a developing, growing relationship with Him, and to be able to have this incredible wisdom from God's Word, the Bible, and to be able to have an awakening of how much our lives matter in relationship with God, and to be able to grasp a hold of God's promises and His purpose and His plan for our future, and it becomes a game changer. I mean, it makes all the difference in the world. The difference between these two are this. This is a love-based approach to God and to life as opposed to a fear-based approach to God and life that's just based upon feelings that are up and down and opinions and ideas and all of these other things that are so scattered and the differences between a fearless life and a fearful life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, we read, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear." I like that. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love is from above. Perfect love is from above. Would you say that aloud together with me? Perfect love is from above. One more time. Perfect love is from above. I think we ought to start a campaign. Perfect love is from above. I mean, we could, tweet it. Perfect love is from above. Hashtag perfect love. Wouldn't it be cool? Hey, when I was a kid, on every public playground and every public school, there used to be these things. They were called teeter-totters, or most of us know them as a seesaw. How many of you remember the seesaw? You remember the seesaw? Yeah, a lot of younger people, millennials, they don't even know what the heck you're talking about, a seesaw. Let me just tell you what a seesaw is. A seesaw is a plank, like a wooden plank, and it's attached, like in the middle, it's anchored in, and there's a seat on one end, a seat on the other end, and the seesaw goes, you go like this, seesaw, 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 you go up and down, you go up and down. It's called a seesaw. Now, don't tell anyone, okay, but when I was a kid, oh my gosh, I used to do such mean things. One time, when I did, I would get on the seesaw, and I would have, it's your weight and gravity. I'd be on the one end, get the other pair on the top, and then jump off. Oh, that was terrible. Okay. But anyhow, when it comes to a seesaw, have you ever wondered why they call it a seesaw? I think I figured it out. Are you ready for this? It's because when you're up, you see. And when you're down, you saw. See, saw. That's how it works. So we think about the fear of the future, and we think about the seesaw, and we have the seesaw, and we have when it's up, you see. And that's all about perfect love that's from above. And then we have, I saw, which is connected with fear. The fear of the future is rooted and grounded in negative past experiences we have and colors our life and our perspective for what is to come in the future. In the midst of all of it, it is possible for every single one of us to live a fearless life as opposed to a fearful life. And how do we do that? Well, it's all about a foundation that is experienced in a relationship, a growing relationship with Jesus, and experiencing this incredible love from above that makes all the difference in our lives, and being able to embrace God's promises and take them to heart. So let's take a look at three of God's promises for our future. Three of them. You may want to write this down. Number one, first of all, I can depend on God to guide me when I'm confused. Wouldn't you agree that life can be very confusing? I mean, we live in a world where we are facing such complex global problems that are beyond our own finite, limited understanding, and we are so puzzled and we're trying to figure out what in the world's going to happen. I mean, what's our future going to look like? And how are we going to be able to navigate our way through? And how are we going to be able to figure it out? I'm talking about problems way big and beyond the problems that you and I face with on a regular basis. And then within it, we have our own challenges, our own difficulties, our own stuff that we're trying to sort through and that we're trying to figure out. Now, here is the good news, and this is what I mean about a foundation, friends. Check this out. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, now this is an incredible promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's having a foundation. Never rely on what you think you know. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and He will show you the right way. What an incredible promise. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and He's going to what? He's going to show you the right way. Now, I realize that for some of you here today, you're dealing with a decision in your life. It's a crossroads in your life. You're dealing with an all-important decision. For some of you, it has to do with your education. For some of you, it has to do with your career path. For some of you, maybe it's changing jobs. For some of you, maybe it's relocating, moving to a different apartment or a different house. For some of you, it's even much more deep and complex. It has to do with a relationship. For some of you, maybe it's been a good relationship that's gone bad, and you're trying to sort through and figure out, where do we go from here? And then for some of you, it's a decision about whether or not to marry. Am I going to say yes or am I going to say no? And yet for some of you, it's a decision in your life that has to do with your health. Maybe it's a medical decision for you or for the life of a loved one. And my question to you is, how are you going to make this all-important decision? What will you base this decision on? You're going to base it on a fortune cookie from egg roll number one? Or from the daily horoscope, or from the psychic hotline, which is so deceptive and such a trap for so many because of this. Psychics, they don't know anything about the future. They know absolutely nothing about what's going to happen. Only God knows about the future. The only thing that psychics can do, and they can't do this, there is a source they're drawing from. It's not God, but through demonic forces in your past and bring up certain facts and different things related to your life as a hook for you to open the door and an entry point for the enemy of your soul to have his way in your life, to wreak havoc and destruction. Never dabble with darkness. And never dialogue with the devil. Have absolutely nothing to do with the works of darkness. Live in the light of God's presence, where there's clarity. Build on this foundation, because this is what leads to a completely fearless life. Notice in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, I love this promise. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to hurt you. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is what God has for your life. He wants to give you a hope, a living hope. And He has a future for you. A future that's beyond anything you could like work up or dream about or achieve on your own apart from Him. God has a future for you. Even in the midst of the chaos, the confusion, and all the stuff that we're dealing with today, and knowing that right now there's so much hype, there's so much controversy, there's so much rhetoric going on around this election that will be final in less than 72 hours. And in the midst of it all, you know, it's confusing. It's confusing, especially when we consider our options. And I don't know about you, if you watched any of the recent debates, but check this out.
Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you.
Those eyes had the time of my life, and I owe it all to you.
I've been waiting for so long, now I finally found someone to stand by me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. God have mercy on us. It's a crazy time which we're living in. You know, all all kidding aside, tonight at 6 o'clock, we are going to have a prayer meeting here at the church. Seriously, I'm not kidding about this, but seriously. We are, and just to pray for our nation and the future of our nation, and just that God would have his way and that his will would be done. And so we would love for you to come and join in as we pray at 6 o'clock. But as we face the future and all of the unknown of the future and the way things are going to turn out for each of our lives as individuals and corporately together, in the midst of it, we can have this foundation where it's about being rooted and grounded in a growing relationship with Jesus, an experiential knowledge of who God really is in our lives, which is built upon this love from above, and in the midst of this to embrace the promises that God has given us and that God has promised, and we can depend upon God to guide us in those times when we're confused. And number two, we can depend on God to support me when I'm overwhelmed. When I'm overwhelmed, you know, life can be very, very overwhelming at times. I mean, stuff that's just like in your face, and it's like instant, and it's like just, oh my gosh, what has happened? One of our staff pastors that was with us for a lot of years, Justin Rowland, he went from being on staff here and a worship leader to becoming, in the era of music, that was his training, and plays with a few bands and travels all over. He's a phenomenal guitarist, and he's a good friend. And he and his wife, Marie, are about to have a baby in a couple of weeks. They're building their first house in Franklin and going to move in December. And he's got all these things going on. And last Tuesday night, he was riding his motorcycle home from Franklin back here to Greenwood on some back roads. Marie was actually following him in her car when it was after dark and he went around a curve and his back tire hit some loose gravel and the bike slid out from underneath him and it totally shattered his right wrist and his right hand and sprained his left wrist. And here's a guy that is such a talented guitarist, and really that's, you know, the gift that God has given him, and now he's faced a surgery on it on Friday and another surgery on Monday, tomorrow, and now they're about to move and to have their first child and all of this stuff. I was talking to him on the phone. He was just saying, I'm so overwhelmed. And in those moments in our lives when it seems like, you know, the sky is falling and we're just so overwhelmed, we can be certain of this, and we can count on this, that God's presence, his peace, is available to us in that moment of need to see us through whatever it is that we may be facing and going through. I love this verse from Psalm 139, verse 16. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them ever began. I mean, think about this for a moment. Imagine this. Long before you were ever born into this world, long before anyone ever knew anything at all about you, God knew all about you. He knew all about the purpose and the plan that he has for your life. And through the opposition and through the accidents and through the setbacks and through the confusion and being overwhelmed, you can rest assured in your heart that there is a power at work. And it's God's presence that's at work in your heart and in your life. And he's going to see you, not just around, not over, not under, but through whatever it is you may be facing and going through in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but life can be very overwhelming in that we have this rapidly changing world. I mean, things are changing so fast. I mean, when it comes to our technology, our technology is changing so fast, it's changing on a daily basis. 10 years ago, we didn't even dream about things we have in the world of technology that we have today. But in the midst of it all are the problems that we face and the uncertainty about the problems that are around the corner, not only the problems that we're aware of that are right in front of us, but think about this, problems that are around the corner like next month or next week or even in the next hour that you're totally unaware of right now. And yet in the midst of it, God makes this incredible promise to us. Notice in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 and 3, when you go through deep waters and great trouble, God says, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you go through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, for I am the Lord your God. Have you ever known someone who had this really treacherous experience, this like horrible thing that has happened to them, and you look at them and you think, oh my gosh, I could never go through anything like that. And then you talk to them about this traumatic experience that they had, and they tell you with great enthusiasm about how in the midst of it, they experienced a grace. They experienced the presence and the peace of God that sustained them and saw them through that they were going through. And that's what you can count on. There are no guarantees when it comes to the uncertainties of life that we're not going to have to go through certain things that maybe we're so fearful of. But what we are guaranteed is this. God's presence, his peace, his sustaining power will be there and see you through it. So I can depend on God to guide me when I'm confused. I can depend on God to be there for me and to support me in those times when I'm overwhelmed. And number three, I can depend on God to reward me when I'm faithful to him. When I'm faithful to him. When you choose to do the right thing, regardless of what everybody else is doing, God's going to reward you. When you choose to do the right thing, regardless of how you may think or feel in that moment, when it's based upon this foundation here and not this, God is going to reward you. Now, I realize we all deal with doubts in life. And we all question our decisions, especially when it comes to doing the right thing. And we deal with doubts, these nagging doubts that say things to us. And this is a familiar voice. Most of you, you've heard this. I mean, why do the right thing? Why be a moral person? Why do attend church regularly? Why serve? Why give? What good is my giving? Does anybody even care? Does my life matter? And these are all these nagging thoughts that every single one of us entertain. In fact, there's someone here. But you've made a pivotal decision to do the right thing in your life. And You felt good about it when you made the decision, but now you're dealing with some doubts, and you're questioning your decision about doing the right thing. And could it be that God is allowing you to be tested, that God is strengthening your faith, that God is deepening your relationship with Him, and that God will never allow more to be put on you than He puts in you? God doesn't always make sense. And while we cannot trace His hand, we can always trust His heart. Could it be that God has brought you here to hear this promise from Hebrews 6:10? God is not unfair. In other words, God is just. He will not lose sight of all that you have done, nor of the loving labor which you have shown for His sake. God is aware and God cares. God remembers and God rewards for everything that you do in His name. And every time you step out, even when other people are like, you know, maybe even giving you a hard time about it, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you're dealing with opposition, when you choose to do the right thing, God will reward you. And for some of you here today, you're dealing with the fear of rejection. You're dealing with the fear of loss. For some of you, you're dealing with the fear of abandonment. For some of you, you're dealing with the fear of loneliness. And in fact, it's a very tormenting fear in your life of being all alone. And yet, in the midst of it, this is what God says. Hebrews 13:5, never, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. God is with you and God is for you. And yet, for some of you here today, because you've not yet developed this foundation, you've been buying this lie. You think God's against you. You think God's out to get you. You fear that God's out to punish you because you've never been awakened to His incredible love, this love from above. God loves you so much, He can't take His eyes off of you. God is aware and God cares. You matter to God and God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And you can rest assured that God is in your corner, God is for you, that God is not against you, that God has a future for you. And that you can count on and depend on God to guide you in those times when you're confused, to support you when you're overwhelmed, and to reward you when you make that right decision to do the right thing in your life. Now, I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey. I don't know where you are in relationship with God, but I do know this. You were made by God, and you were made for God. That's why you exist. That's why you're here. And when it's all said and done at the end of the day, the one thing that matters and the anchor for your soul and the foundation is this, your trust in God. Where is your trust? Trust is a must. Do you have a misplaced trust? Or do you have this capital T trust, this wholehearted trust in God? Is your life all about this incredible love from above? Or is your life about yourself? This perfect love from above has a name. And His name is Jesus. And this is what life is really all about. Who are you living your life for? Are you living your life for yourself? Which is really, I mean, that's pretty limited. Or are you living your life for the approval of other people? Or are you living your life for God? And enjoying a growing relationship with Jesus and building this foundation in your life to live a fearless life as opposed to a fearful life. It was David the psalmist that made this incredible transition from a fearful life to a fearless life. And he talks about it in Psalm 34, verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've made provision for every one of us in Jesus, that you've paid an incredible price at the cross so we could be free from fear, that we could be free from death, that we could have a living hope beyond this life, that of everlasting life in you. And God, I thank you for your presence that's here right now. And I ask that you would allow us to experience in this very moment this incredible, perfect love from above, that you would give us a baptism in love. Jesus, that you would have your way in our hearts and in our lives, that we might have an encounter with you, the living God. I don't know where you are in relationship with God, but for some of you, you've heard about God and you have entertained thoughts about God, and it's kind of fuzzy, it's unclear, and it's like you've known other people who seem to have this relationship with God, but you couldn't honestly say that you have a relationship with God. But yet you're interested, and you know that God is real, and you are sensing that God is calling you to himself. And God has revealed himself to you in ways that are undeniable from time to time in the past. And could it be that God has brought you to this moment in time that you might turn your heart to heaven, that you might call on his name, that you might surrender your life to Jesus and begin a relationship with him? And if this is the desire of your heart, I want to pray for you right where you're sitting. And if you want to say a big yes to Jesus and God's plan and purpose for your life, you want to begin a relationship with him, you want to be forgiven of all of your sins and become born again, made alive in him, this is your moment. Would you just raise your hand right now? And I want to pray for you. Just raise it up high where I can see it. God bless you. Raise them up high where I can see that in the balcony and over there. Anybody? Yes, and I see you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? God's moving upon you. I see your hand. I see you. Thank God for your honesty. Anyone else? Just raise it up high so I can see it. Those of you who raise your hand, and those of you who want to join in, if you just say this right now in your heart, say, Dear God, I want to know you. And Jesus, I want to begin a relationship with you. Would you come into my heart, forgive me of all of my sins, and take over my life? For it's in your name that I pray. Amen. Let's give those folks a hand. Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's what it's all about. You know, thank you, Jim. There's a lot of ways that we can demonstrate faithfulness to God in our lives, but it always includes this. It always involves us moving beyond simply living for ourselves and joining up, being a part of God's mission in the world, loving people into a growing relationship with Jesus, to love people, not just talk about loving people, but to actually do it, to do it in action. And we have an opportunity in just 2 weeks to do that together as a church. We have an opportunity to show God's love this Thanksgiving season in a really practical way to people in our community who are in need by giving away free Thanksgiving turkeys, no strings attached, just as a simple way of saying that God loves you. We're going to be giving away around 100 turkeys. It's going to be an awesome, awesome outreach. And we want you to sign up to come join, be a part of making a difference in the lives of people who are in need right here in our community, showing God's love to them in this really, really practical way. So if you want to sign up to be a part of that outreach, just check the box on your Connect card that says outreach. And you can come, you can give away turkeys, you can bring a turkey if you want and give it away. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. And if you want more information about that, just check out inside of your program. Also, now at this time, we're going to honor God through our giving, returning a portion to him of what he's given to us. And these buckets are going to be around here in just a moment. And you can put your offering in them along with your Connect card. You see this inside of your program. If you would, please fill this out all the way And you can place these in the buckets whenever they come by, unless you are a guest. If you're here for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And we have a gift that we want to give you. We'd love to meet you right after the celebration. So if you're a guest, just hang on to this. And after Jim dismisses here in a moment, go out these doors and go by the main entrance to the left. And there's an area called Next. And we'll be there. We'd love to just meet you, say thanks for coming, and give you a free gift. So with that, let's honor God, putting Him first in our lives, giving Him our first and our best as we make an investment in changing lives.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. 'Cause I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yeah, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. You have chosen me. Love has called my name. Oh, I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no us this morning. Oh, 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 oh.
All right. I want to thank you for being here today as we kick off this new series, No Fear, November. Also, if you would like to receive prayer for anything, we have caring people up here at the front. And then those of you who said yes to Jesus, right through the doors, we have what's called the Yes Center. We have a resources for you. It's all free of charge, a free Bible and all kinds of goodies in it, and so all kinds of cool stuff. Next weekend, we're going to continue in part two in our brand new series, No Fear November. So please come back.